God, we thank you for your word, which edifies our soul, which fills our spirit. Lord, thank you that it is the bread and the life for us every day. So, Lord, teach us from your word today. Holy Spirit, fill me and wear me well. Say whatever it is you need to say, and do what it is you need to do. Begin to dissect us and put us back together. And, Lord, I pray, God, that you would challenge us to be more like you today. Lord, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for this time together. We thank you for this time in our word. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Awesome. We're in 1 Corinthians 7. We talked about divorce last time. Dun, dun, dun. Like, that was the hardest one ever to preach. Pastor Sue did a phenomenal job, especially in our society where it's very blurred lines. And it's, where do I stand on this topic if you are in a situation where you have been divorced or you're in a situation where you are thinking of divorce, go back and listen to the message. I think it'll edify your soul and maybe make some things clear for you. And we always just want to make it known that if you need a pastor to talk through some stuff with, you can call the office and we can have one-on-one personal time so that we can walk you through those things. As we're dealing with some hard things, and here's Paul, he's dealing with the Corinthian church. I mean, they're going through some stuff, you know, not any different than what we're going through. And I think it's quite interesting that God wanted me to go line upon line, precept upon precept here in the word of God, because God has a word for you today. I believe that God didn't just put this word together. I thought it was quite interesting because here we are going to talk about divorce. And then the next section of scripture will be widows and being single. And you're going, well, that's not for me, so I'm not coming. You need to come because you are going to have a widow in your life. I promise you, I have two. And or you're going to be single at one point in your life, and you may need to know some things. Or you have friends that are single. And so the more you know about what God says about things, the more you can minister to other people. Because the word of God is not just for you, but it's for those around you. So get as much as you can so you can minister to those around you. And as I was reading these scriptures, I was in the next section of scripture, and I'm like, what? What does this have to do with anything that Paul is talking to them about? He's talking about divorce, and then he's talking about widows and being single. And in this little section of scripture that I get, he's talking about living called. And I'm like, why? And I've been pondering on this for 2 weeks. Like, God, why are you talking about living called in between the way that people are living their lives? And it was so real to me. It was so evident to me. But God was saying to me, because when you go through life and things don't go the way you want them to, has anybody ever lived that life? Like, do you remember the fairy tale of like when you met that guy and you're like, ooh, the butterflies and we're going to get married and you're like, we're going to have, you know, two kids and a house with the picket fence and we're going to just be good. Everybody's going to have a job. And then all of a sudden the guy is crazy and the kids didn't come the way you wanted them to. And there's no picket fence and there is no house. And you're like, what happened to the dream? I'm here to tell you that even without the dream and even with the dream, you got to know that you're called in the good, the bad, and the ugly. And it's going to be what anchors us as believers. And Paul is talking to this church, the Corinth church, who are surrounded by really hard things. They're surrounded by really nasty things, like we are. If you just I turned on the news today just to see how the poor people in Florida are vetting, because I have a lot of friends out there. And I'm looking, I'm like, okay, my friend's there, okay. And then I have a friend that literally is on the East Coast, and I'm thinking her house is probably gone. And I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at what our government is not doing for these people. I'm looking at how they in North Carolina are taking packing mules, putting food on these mules, and having to hike them in to get food to these poor people. I mean, it is amazing what we do for each other. So girls, we will need each other if anything happens, because we are a community and we cannot be banking on the government. Can I just say that? Because they are not your savior, God is. And so as I'm looking at this, you just turn the news on and you begin to see. I got this like thing that they're saying that there's aluminum in all the rain lately and it's never happened before. And I mean, you literally, you could look at everything and go, they're killing us. And then all of a sudden I get, no, I'm the one who's in control. And whether they do what they do I keep my people. And no matter how hard it gets, I want you to remember who you are in the middle of it. Remember who you are in the middle of the storm. Remember who you are in the middle of that hard marriage. Remember who you are in the middle of divorce. Remember who you are as a single person. Remember who you are as a widow. That's what he's saying to all of these people, is that you are to live called. And so I labeled this message, I titled it, Called to Live Beyond My Limitations. Because so many times, the stories of our life will define the limits of our life. I can only go so far because, you know, the money was cut off. I can only go so far because this person did me wrong. Or I can only do this because this didn't happen the way that I thought it would. And yet, I'm here to tell you today, no, get outside of what you can see. And it's time to start living called and a woman of faith. Being called isn't just for people like me, ministers in a pulpit. We think the word called is for people that are in ministry. That's a called word, right? Like, I'm called. But there are people that are actually called to be doctors. God created them to be doctors. God created them to be plumbers. God created them to be writers. God created them to be journalists. God created them for whatever they find themselves in, a mother, a father, a sister, a brother. But we are all either wives, mothers, influencers, workers. We are specific in whatever field we find ourselves in, but always for the kingdom of God. God has called us all to be hard workers, and he's called us all to be leaders in a lost and dying world. Not just me, but you too. The called of God are to serve God without a title. Isn't that good? You don't need a title to serve God. You are called to serve God if a position has never been given to you by a man, because God has given you a position at the right hand of the Father. You are seen by God and positioned by God as his child. You are seated with Christ. You are to serve whether you are seen by others or whether you are unseen by others. It's not what we do that people see, it's what we don't do that God sees. See, Paul is trying to teach these believers that in Christ, how we live despite what is happening around us is so important. They have come from such a carnal society, carnal, dark, evil. I mean, good Lord, just turn on the movies right now. Right? We're living, I hate Halloween. I hate this season and time because Satan just thinks he owns it. He doesn't own not one day. Not one day. I don't care whatever witch is online. I don't care whatever pagan holiday they say things are. You don't own it. God owns everything. Pastor Dan preached a message. He owns all the donuts. He owns it all. And so I think we as believers need to remind ourselves what kingdom we're a part of. No matter what circumstances we find ourselves living in. So you go, how is that possible? How can we keep our joy? How can I be strong in the midst of trial? But it's when we learn how to do things God's way that we get God results. And more times than often, we forget to do things God's way because our flesh begins to take over, our thought processes take over, our heartache takes over, our discouragement, our despair takes over. But yet God is saying, would you stop it, daughter of God? I have called you. That means I've given you all that you need, and I put you in a position that no matter what's happening around you, you are the light of the world because I am shining so bright through you. So here they are in dark places, dark spaces, dark corners, and dark wells of despair, the Corinthian church. And yet God is saying, you're called. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 7:17. Paul is speaking a language that they do not understand. But he begins speaking a language to them that they begin to understand, because he's going to use a big word called circumcision. Let me explain circumcision to you so that when we get there, we could just go through it. They would be circumcised if they were Jewish. They would cut off the foreskin of their penis. Yeah, if you don't know what circumcision, that's what it is. It's the tip of the penis, and you cut it. And it represents that you are a part of Abraham's seed, that you are of the Jewish descent, that you belong to God, okay? And so they were going, well, we're circumcised and you're not circumcised, but we're the chosen ones and you're not the chosen ones. And they're fighting amongst themselves. They're comparing. And they're saying one is greater than the other. And here's the gospel. Here's Jesus. And he comes in and he says, all of that is old law. Abraham's seed is old law. I am God. I have come. I've redeemed it all back. And in me, the Gentile and the Jew all have access to me. So this is after Jesus. This is all, and here's Paul teaching the Corinthian church. Hey, you guys, knock it off. All right? So this is what he's using their language, but he's doing it in a simple way so that he can remind them of the salvation of Christ. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 7:17 through 24. But as God has distributed each to one, as the Lord has called each one, the Lord called everyone. So let him walk. And so I ordain in all the churches, that means all people, all the body of Christ, all churches. Has God left anyone out so far? No. Was anyone called while circumcised? So he's talking to those that were circumcised. Let him not become uncircumcised. So he's saying you can't undo what's already been done. Okay? Verse 18. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not be circumcised. He's saying you don't have to go get circumcised in order to be saved. Okay? Then he says, verse 19, circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. So right there, Paul is blowing their minds. He is throwing out all of their religious understanding, all of their religious teachings, all of the deep, deep wells that they've grown up in and lived by. And I mean, really, they'd probably look at him and be like, blasphemy. But then he says, but keep the commandments of God is what matters. Verse 20 says, let each one remain in the same calling in which he is called. Verse 21, were you called while a slave? Now, I've been thinking on this sentence for a second. And I'm like, Lord, you talked about marriage. And when you think about marriage, I was thinking about Esther. Here she was a slave to the king. A lot of times the women back in those days, they were sold into a marriage. They were given into a marriage that they didn't want to be in. And they had to do what they didn't want to do. They had to live how they didn't want to live. So they would be considered a slave in their own home to their husbands. So think about, we live so free, right? We get to pick and choose who we want to marry. We are like, don't treat me like that. Like, but still nowadays, not in this country, but in other countries, there's very much so a control system. Right now, I just saw women that can't even show their eyes any longer. They wear just drapes, completely fully draped. Talk about slavery. And this is in the Muslim cultures across the world happening right now. Where they used to just show their eyes, now they're not even allowed to show their eyes. You see, so he's saying, were you called while a slave? Did you find Jesus? Because he calls you and invites you to the table. Do not be concerned about it. So he's saying, even though you're a slave, don't be worried about it. You got Jesus. Isn't that cool? And then he says, but if you can be made free, rather use it. Verse 22, for he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freed man. So whether you find yourself trapped in that job, let's put it to our world, whether you find yourself trapped in this marriage, whether you find yourself trapped in debt, whether you find yourself trapped in your own despair or a place where you feel that you are not free, you're being tormented or you're trapped or you're servant somebody else or somebody has you on the hook, I'm here to tell you, if you have Christ Jesus, you're actually free in Christ. So even though we may be bound by the things of this world, we are free in Christ is what he is saying. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. Whoa, now he's using terms like what? Now I'm the slave of Christ? Absolutely. Because we are now bought with a price. We are no longer our own, but everything we are when we say yes to Jesus and we make him the Lord of our life. We say, I want to be saved. I want to serve Christ. I want to go further with God. Guess what happens? I am no longer my own. That my decisions are no longer my decisions. My prayers are no longer the prayers I want to pray, but that the prayers I need to pray that God needs me to pray. Have you ever had a dream in your heart and you're going, I don't know where this came from, but my heart is so broken for these things and I'm longing to see this happen. And guess where that came from? That was probably a God dream. And God began to change you and mold you. And you began to love what God loved. And you begin to hate what God hates. That's where we become a slave in Christ. It's actually freedom. This is where submission and marriage comes in. Where I am coming under the mission of God. I'm coming under his mission. Submission means I am submission. I'm under authority. In marriage, God says we are under authority to our husbands. And then he says to him, we are under authority to Christ. That means that I am a slave to Christ, but actually a slave means I'm a servant and I am free in all that he is and all that he gives. Verse 23, you were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. Men will try and trap you. Satan will deceive you. He will bring a counterfeit to whatever circumstance you find yourself in. He will present it. It will look good. It will be tantalizing. It'll be something that is alluring to you, to your flesh, to your soul, to your mind. But go bring that to the throne room of God and say, God, is this what you want for me? Is this what you have for me? Is this where the direction our family needs to go in? Is this what I need to be doing? And hear the voice of God and wait and do not move until you hear God. Because you do not want to be a slave to men, but you need to be a slave to Christ. Verse 24, brethren, let each one of you remain with God in that state into which he was called. You have been called, daughters. But understanding this calling in the middle of very hard places is going to be what keeps you and what anchors you in very troubling times. And so understanding to live beyond my limitations starts with me knowing some things. If you're taking notes, number one, that I am called by God. You are called by God. What does this mean? We hear this a lot. And I'm going to use the scriptures, but I'm actually going to do it in the Passion Translation. I think it says it so beautifully in verses 17 through 18. It says, may all believers continue to live the wonderful lives God has called them to live according to what he assigns for each person. For this is what I teach to believers everywhere. If when you were called to follow Jesus, you were circumcised, it would be futile, it would be wrong of you to try to undo the circumcision. And if you were called while yet uncircumcised, there'd be no need to be circumcised. So it's talking about your call, just simply because Jesus came. You don't need to go and try and find. You don't need to clean yourself up to come to God. You just got to come to God as you are. Isn't that good news? Many times religion or people will talk themselves away from the call of God and the call of God in your life. They'll call you weird. What are you doing? Why are you going that way? We'll find that these traditions sometimes back, some of us have come out of, different types of churches. All different religions have different ways of doing things. If you do this and do this, you'll earn this. And if you do this and do this, you do this. And you can't pray yourself. We're the only ones that can read the Bible to you. And we'll sprinkle water on you. There's all these traditions of men that men make up. And here's Paul talking to them, the Jewish people, saying, hey, just like the Jewish people have their traditions, we nowadays have our own traditions in religion. And he's saying, get rid of religion and step into Jesus. Because when you've asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, you are called. You are called. It says, Jesus says this so beautifully in John 15, 16. He says, you did not choose me. This is Jesus talking. But I chose you. I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. You are fruit bearers, girls. You are not just anybody just sitting by getting through life surviving. You are fruit bearers, that your fruit should remain and that whatever you ask in the Father, in my name, he may give you. You see, you have the power of God working on your behalf. Why? Because you are called. And so today, if this is anything but just to remind you that you are called and that the name of Jesus is at power and at work in your life to do what God wills and wants to do through your life, You see, it means in the Aramaic, called means that you are invited as a dinner guest to his table. Woo! You are invited to the table of God. Isn't that good news? You are invited to fellowship with him. You are called to fellowship with God. We have heard this saying, God doesn't call the qualified, but he qualifies the called. Right? That means you may feel like I'm not good enough. I don't have the skills. I don't have the ability. Pastor Jess, you don't know. I come from, you know, the south side, the north side. I come from no side. I come from the railroad tracks. I don't have any skills. And I'm here to tell you, would you shut it thou upest? Because you are called. You are anointed by God. There's nothing that you can't put your mind to and ask the Spirit of God to join you in it. And he begins to do something new in you. That greater is he that is in you than he that is in the real girls. We can no longer allow ourselves to be defeated foes, because when we are called to sit and fellowship at the dining table of Christ, why do we act like we're so busted and disgusted? I'm preaching in San Bernardino. There's a poverty mentality over this Inland Empire. But I'm here to tell you, we are not going to teach poverty. We are going to teach the blessing and the goodness of God to pull you out of the broken places. That no matter what somebody has told you, that you're not good enough, that you're ugly, that you'll never be enough, that you're pointless, that you're a failure, you've been divorced, you've been ranked through the piles, you're ugly, you're this, you're that. Satan loves to lie to you. I'm here to tell you, oh, but God says you are called. He says you are his daughter. He says if you call on the name, that he will use you and that he will begin to do something through you. You see, so many times we live defeated as Christians, but if we would just get a hold of what the call of God is on our lives. God is the one who wills, and he does, and he calls us. Listen to this. He anoints you. He equips you. If he anoints you, he's going to equip you. Then he appoints you. Oh, that's good news. And this will require, Tony Cook says it this way, when he anoints you and equips you, you have a choice. You have a choice to respond or not respond to God. You can obey or not obey God. We can cooperate or not cooperate with God. We can follow completely, partially, or not at all. And sadly, guys, I have as a pastor watched so many people partially or not at all cooperate with the Spirit of God and the call on their lives. And then they say, God let me down. God didn't show up. And I'm here to say, you didn't show up for your position. He is never failing. He is always good. He is always sovereign, even in the midst of trial, even in the pain, even when things aren't easy. You are free in Christ Jesus because you are called. Matthew 22:14 says, for many are called, but few are chosen. You see, Saul was the king over Israel. They wanted a king. God kept telling them, you don't need one. You got me. And they said, we want a king. We want a king. So he gives them a king. Saul begins to do what God doesn't want him to do. God anointed Saul. But he began to do his things his own way. And so Saul was called, but then Saul began to do his own calling instead of God's calling. And so God began to say, it's time for me to anoint a new king. For Samuel, so he sends Samuel to go anoint a new king. So we're going to go into 1 Samuel 16, 5 through 13. And this is Samuel, and he says, he comes into the town. Now remember, when Samuel comes in, he's a prophet. So they're looking at him like, this is going to get out. You're going to go anoint somebody else, and Saul's going to be mad. So Samuel's talking to God like, you're going to get me in trouble. Like, and he says, just go and just say that you're sacrificing an offering and that these people are going to be a part of what you're doing. And this is what God says. And so Samuel goes in and he says, peaceably, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to this sacrifice. And then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them into this sacrifice. And so it was when they came that he looked at Eliab. And he said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Now remember, he's looking for someone to anoint. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at the appearance, at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see a man as a man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Isn't that good news? So Jesse called Abinadab. I can't even say his name right. I'm sure Teresa would totally helped me with this one, and made him pass before Samuel. And then he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shammah pass by. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said to Jesse, are there any young men here? Then he said, there is one yet, the youngest, and there he is, keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for he will not sit down till he comes here. And so he sent and he brought him before Samuel, and now he was ruddy. He was bright-eyed and good-looking, and the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. The next verses say, and God in that moment left Saul. I want to point this out to you. When he left Saul, Saul began, a tormenting spirit came into Saul's life. Saul did his own thing. And he removed the call of God on his life. And a tormenting spirit came in. And who did they call to appease him in his tormenting spirit? David, the one who was anointed in his place. Yet Saul did not know this. So David came in and would play the harp for him. And the tormenting spirit would leave him. Then all of a sudden, Saul loved David. So Saul started giving David everything. Then David went before Goliath. And nobody could defeat Goliath. No one. Here's this little shepherd boy, anointed by God, that nobody knew he was anointed but Saul. And yet he still has not stepped into his position as king. He still is waiting to take the position as king. He's just a servant. And he hears how Goliath is saying to the people of God, oh, I'm going to take you out. And he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would come against the God of angel armies? You see, there was a faith in him. Why? Because he was called. He was anointed. They put on the armor on him. That armor was massive. He says to Saul, Saul, I can't go before him in this armor. I can't even move. He takes his staff and he takes his soft little round stones and his sling. And he stands up before that big old guy and he starts swinging that thing and it hits him right between the temple right here. Kills Goliath and he goes down like a ton of bricks and he cuts his head off. Don't tell me God doesn't equip you when he calls you. The most unlikely person. You are the most unlikely person, but you are called in the midst of whatever trial you find yourself in. Do not forget this, ladies. He says, arise. You may feel like you are not noticed. The people don't see you. But I'm here to remind you today, God notices you and God sees you. He calls you, he saves you, and he gives you a new identity in him. And you are now a part of the kingdom of God. So in order, girls, to understand how to live beyond your limitations, you got to remember, number one, you're called by God. And number two, you got to be where you find yourself. Where do you find yourself right now? Where are you at? Every single one of us is in a different space, in a different place. What's in your hand to do? You see, the call of God is a process. We talked about David. He didn't just step into being king. He had to wait that process out. He had to earn it. He had to live it out. He had to live anointed when nobody even knew. Are you living anointed and called when nobody sees it? But I'm here to tell you, all of you are called and anointed. So get to work. Understand that you find yourself where you are. Be there. 1 Corinthians 7:19 through 20 says, your identity before God has nothing to do with the circumcision or uncircumcision. What really matters is following God's commandments. So everyone should continue to live faithfully in the situation of life into which they were called to follow Jesus. This was a shocking statement for the Jews because it went against everything they knew. It went against every circumstance and every process and way to get to God. But today, I want to abolish some of your thinking that you can't be good enough to get to God, that you just come to him and that he cleans us up from the inside out, that when you mess up, girls, you just go before him and be like, God, I'm sorry. I messed up. It's just that simple. And so Paul is showing them that it's the inward transformation that is greater than the outward appearance of what's going on. Paul is showing the people that regardless of their circumstances, we have to remain faithful to God. Girls, regardless of what you're going through today, keep going. You've got to stay faithful. Stay in the game. Stay in the fight. Don't give up. The key is not to look for the different circumstances. Don't look for something to change, but to find a way to serve God where you find yourself at now. Find God in the middle of where you're at now. Okay? Paul was good at this. Paul was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was bit by snakes. This man has been through it. Most of what we read from Paul, he's in prison, writing to us. And then he says this in Philippians. He's talking to the Philippian church, and he says, not that I have ever in need, for I have learned how to be content in whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing and with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or an empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything. Whew! I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. No matter what's coming your way, no matter where we find ourselves in the future, I want you to remember that it's not your circumstances that determine your call. It is your circumstances that you live your call out in. David was called and he was anointed. He was put into this position, but it took him a period of time. In fact, he got anointed and had to go back and tend to the sheep. I would be like, seriously? I just got anointed by the king of the universe and I'm going back and tending the sheep. But it was that David understood the fight. When he took care of those sheep, there were lions and bears that were coming after him, and he was able to defeat them, and that's why he was able to go against Goliath. He wouldn't have been able to have the confidence to stand up against Goliath if he hadn't stood up against a bear and a lion. So what are you facing right now? Trust God in the middle of it. Be in the middle of that storm. Trust that he's going to get you through, that you are called to carry out and to walk through that. Because whatever you're going through now is going to make you stronger for what's ahead. You see, every time you get a little bit further, you get a little bit stronger spiritually. So when Satan comes knocking at your door, you can go, I've already dealt with that. That one's not going to take me out. You tried that before. I defeated you. You're a defeated foe. You see, you begin to build your confidence. So be where you are now and fight that battle and overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony later. Dare I even ask this question to you? Can you or I be content in life no matter where we find ourselves? Or do we just complain about it constantly? I have met people that have all the money in the world, and yet they still complain. Money does not fix everything, girls. I have met the poorest of poor, and I have heard them complain about everything. And they say, all I need is money. Money is the root of all evil because all it does is make you want it. It's mammon. It's an evil spirit that has you trapped. But when you stop looking for your circumstances to be fixed with money or by government or by family or by a person, and you begin to look at your circumstances to be fixed by God and God alone, then you are the strongest, most freed person. You are no longer a slave to men, but you are a slave in Christ. You no longer are bound by these things. Living in the call won't always be easy. It will not always be blissful. It will seem boring. You will be bored at times. It may even seem mundane. I remember when I was a stay-home mom and God called me to stay home. And I'm like a worker girl. Like I was running like every event around here. And I understood processes and I understood how things worked. And I go home and I'm like, seriously? This is driving me nuts. Like I'm really bored. And I'm cleaning. And then it just gets dirty again. And then I clean. And then it gets dirty again. And I clean. And it gets dirty. And I thought I was going to lose my mind. And I thought, okay, God, you are punishing me. And I remember the Lord speaking to me. And he said, where do you find yourself right now? And I said, you asked me to stay home. And he said, I asked you to build the next generation. And I went, what? And he goes, your ministry is no longer actually in the church, but your ministry is at home, building the next generation that will preach my gospel and declare my works. So what you do now will later on count. And you may not even see it to this point, but you will one day see it. I took that serious. He said, every single little kid that comes into your home, you need to do something that will bring Jesus into their hearts. Man, I used to have like Jesus birthday parties at Christmas, and I'd make birthday cakes, and we would have birthday parties for Jesus with all the little kids that I knew, and all the mom's kids would come over. I would always watch mom's kids for them, and you know, nobody ever watched my kids for me, but that's okay. I wrote a letter. And I would watch everybody's kids for them so they could go out and do what they needed to do. And I would be there, and I would just try and pour in the goodness of God. I would speak the word. When they would fight, I'd be like, we don't treat each other that way. This is what God says about it. And I would bring God into every single scenario that we were walking through with the children. I still, to this day, do this to my family. I have lost friends because I do this to their children, and they say, quit Bible thumping my kids. And I'm like, well, I don't know how else to live. Because the reality is there is no other way for me to live. Because it works. The word of God works. And when you find yourself in a mundane, boring position, maybe you're thinking about it wrong, and ask the Holy Spirit to give you a new perspective on where you find yourself. Because why are you there? Who needs you? And what does God need you to learn in that mundane position? You see, don't eliminate what God is doing in your moment that you're in now. Is God enough for you in both circumstances to stay in your call? Is he good enough for you in your circumstances to stay in your call? To remain in the call doesn't happen overnight. It just doesn't. It's developed. It's developed through intimacy with God. It's developed through fighting through the hard places in life. It's developed when you obey, when you don't want to obey. It's developed when he corrects you and you feel like annoyed that he's like dealing with you on something that you've done, and you feel almost ashamed and you want to hide, but you say, I'm not going to hide. I'm going to just say, yes, that is bad in me. I need to work that out. And you begin to listen to the correction and do what he does. You see, our character will constantly be tested. And when we fail the test of our character, God will bring us back around that mountain again. Because we didn't learn it the first time, like the children of Israel. You may be going around that mountain a couple times. And you're going, why does this keep happening? Well, what are you not learning? You need to go talk to God about that. One who can follow through no matter what and when he endures hardships is one God is looking for. This happens when you remain steadfast. And you obey. 1 Corinthians 15, 58 says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that the Lord, your labor is not in vain. It's not in vain, girls. Keep going. Galatians 6, 9, and let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Isn't that good news? James 1, 12. It says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. That is a crown when you get to heaven. You may not see it now, but when you get to heaven, you will receive the crown of righteousness, which God has promised those who love him. Isn't that good news? In order to go beyond your limitations, you've got to be in the place you find yourself in. Number three, last one. To go beyond your limitations, you got to remember that you are not a slave to anyone but Christ. You are truly free in him. 1 Corinthians 7, 21 through 24 says, where you are a slave when you heard the call to follow Jesus, don't let that concern you. Even if you can gain your freedom, make the most of the opportunity. For truly, if you are called to live a life of union with the Lord, you already are a free man. Isn't that good? And those who are called to follow Jesus when they were free are now the Messiah's slaves. And since a great price was paid for your redemption, stop having the mindset of a slave. Brothers and sisters, we must remain in close communion with God, no matter what our situation was when we first called to follow Jesus. Stay close to Christ. He is greatly challenging them to find their freedom in Him, despite being enslaved by the circumstances that surround them. If they had given their hearts to Christ, then He is their Lord and they are free. If they are bound in the life of a man or life of circumstances, which is marriage, prison, slavery, this is what they are living in. We are blessed in America and we do not really understand these things. We don't. We're pretty spoiled. We don't have someone telling us that you can't go to church today. We don't have to meet as Christians in an underground church. We are not being told that we cannot post a scripture online. We are getting there, but we are not there yet. And so when we find ourselves standing up against the little things right now, guys, we're building an endurance because one day when we get there and they hate us because Satan hates us, and he hates the gospel, and he hates all that God represents. This is not a battle between the Democrat and the Republican Party, church. This is a fight against the spiritual battle against good and evil. This is Satan coming after the body of Christ. This is Satan taking out humanity. This is him coming to divide, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But when we understand who we are in Christ, and that we are no longer bound by the things in which the world is presenting, but I am a servant of the Most High God, and that I am free in who Christ has made me to be, that we have this understanding that even if they bind us in chains, even if they put us in prison, that we are free and free in Christ. Because for eternity, I will be free with my Maker. What you can do to me now does not even affect me later for eternity. You see, we've got to get this understanding in our hearts and in our minds, this understanding that Christ is good, that God is good no matter what. Because you'll want to curse him when things get hard. You want to say, where are you, God? Why haven't you showed up? And God is saying, I'm right there with you in the midst of the pit, like he was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, like he was with Daniel in the lion's den. Like he was with Jesus on the cross. He's present. But this earth is not the end all, church. So when we think of this earth as everything and we get consumed by everything that goes on in our lives here and they become so big, it becomes so much bigger than who God is, guess what happens? We get our hearts and our minds off of eternity and off of the bigger picture. And we get caught up in very frivolous, stupid things. We end up hating each other. We end up biting each other. We end up devouring each other. But yet God is saying, would you stop it, church? There's a bigger picture here. I'm coming for my bride. I need her to be ready. I need her to be strong. I need her to understand that she is free in me, that she is not a slave to this world, a slave to what the world commands of her, the slave to what they're saying over her. But she is free, free in what I've said about her, free in who I've told her to be, free in her steps, free in her mind, free in her heart, and she is free to live eternal life with me forever. You see, that's the picture, guys. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on him, that no matter what, that he is sovereign, that he is good, and that he is faithful. What he says rules, and that is the final say for us in our lives. When you hear something opposite of what God says, you need to send it packing. Send it packing. What does this look like? Let's talk about little minute things. You don't like yourself. You beat yourself up. I don't like my hair. I don't like the texture of my hair. I don't like the way my hair is. I don't like my hair curly. I don't like my hair straight. I don't like my hair blonde. I don't like my hair black. I don't like myself. I don't like my shape. I don't like my butt. I don't like my legs. Dude, seriously? How stupid of us to waste time on these things. When God made me, And he sees me differently than I see myself. But I get so caught up in how I look on the outside that I've forgotten that God is looking at me on the inside. And what is broken on the inside that I gotta be so messed up about myself on the outside? You see, God's gotta mend some of those places inside. This body dysphoria that we as women all live in. We all live in it, all of us. I went to Knott's Berry Farm the other day. I wore shorts, girls. And they were here. And I was letting the cellulite hang out, and I was like, mm-hmm. And I was like, if she could wear it, I could wear it. And then I was comparing, and the Lord was like, stop it. That's wrong in you. And all day I was sitting there like, all right, I was making myself feel better. Yeah, that's the wrong way to make yourself feel better. Yeah, you're right, okay. And the Lord just began to just spank me all day long about myself. It was the most discouraging Knott's Berry Farm trip I've ever been on. But I will tell you, when we begin to compare ourselves to other people to make ourselves feel better, we are not in the Spirit of God. These are just little things I'm just talking about because I know we all live here. We all live here. But when we talk about, oh, well, her husband is so much better than my husband. Look at, that's easy for you to say because your husband's a good man, but mine, he's not like yours. What are you doing? You just diminished your husband. And you've put him in the grave where he can't come out of in your mind. And the power of God is no longer working in that. But when you begin to go, you know what? I'm so happy that they have a great marriage. My marriage is going to be blessed too. Because my husband, he may not be where he's at, but God's getting him where he needs to go. He's a good man of God, and he may not be what I want him to be, but that's okay. I'm probably not what he wants me to be. And so as we work on ourselves, we work together with Christ together in this marriage, in this union. You see, we got to change the way we see things. Because we're confessing death over places God has already confessed life over. You can have what you say. You see, Christ is good no matter what, no matter how you feel, no matter what you think. He is sovereign. You are a slave to him and not to your thoughts, not to the words of people, not to the ideas of man. But you are a slave to Christ, to his thoughts, to his ways, to his ideas, and to his plans. See, many people think they're free. I love the people that think they're so free, and yet I look at them. You know, let's just talk about the Kardashians for a second. These people think they're so free. I see people like pumping their butts up with like, you know, false like stuff. I don't even know what's in there. Maybe extra fat or something. I don't know. And they have these like extravagant butts now. Really thin waists. And I'm like, since when was that popular? This is just natural for me. And the reality is like, why are we looking to someone to find ourselves identity of goodness? Who said that's pretty? Who said you're not pretty the way you are? Do you see what I'm saying? Satan has done a really good job at tainting the way we see things and blurring the way that God made beauty. He made us in all shapes, all sizes, all different patterns and all different ways. We think not the same. Thank God. It'd be really boring if we did. And yet God says, I love every single one of you. And every single one of you I came for. And every single one of you is free in me. And you are not a slave to anyone but to me, your creator. Isn't that good news? You see, freedom for us is something you've got to learn to be free in. It is obedience. Freedom requires us to be obedient to what God wants. That means that we've got to cooperate with what God wants us to cooperate with him on. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, we are co-workers with God. We are God's cultivated garden, the house he is building. Isn't that good? That God is cultivating us, that we are his garden and he's building his house within us and through us. Girls, you should be smiling right now because you are God's garden that he's cultivating. It's beautiful. I have a story for you. Many people think that freedom is a license to do whatever a person wants, but true freedom is the ability to do what is right, okay? It takes obedience in order to have true freedom. I can sit at a piano and be at liberty to play all the keys that I want. Have you ever done that where you're like, bang, bang, bang? But you don't have the freedom to play Bach. It will just be noise. You can't even play chopsticks. It will be really annoying. It'll be like that clanging cymbal, you know, that brass cymbal that it talks about. But it takes years of practice and obedience to follow a lesson plan to truly be free to play the piano the way it should be played. Then does that have the freedom to play any piece of music that you want. You know people that sit down at a piano and just begin to play whatever it is they put what's in front of them. The same is true for free living with Christ. To be truly free, we must have the power and the ability to be obedient with Christ. And as in our obedience, we learn how to cooperate with God. And so when life starts hitting us, guess what happens? I can sit down at that piano and I know because I already know how I got through it last time. So I'm playing it beautifully now because it's not going to take me out. I'm not going to be like, crazy chaos. But it's going to be beautiful melody even in the middle of chaos because we're free and we're free in Christ. So good. We are building God's kingdom, girls. You are kingdom builders. I'm turning into my mother. Is there a tissue down there? I need a tissue. I always wondered why she carried tissues. And apparently we have something genetic where snot just starts running out of our nose. Don't make fun of your moms, girls. You turn into them. Okay. This always happens. This only happens freedom through divine power. Your freedom doesn't come from you. Your freedom comes from divine power. Isn't that interesting? So when the world is like, oh, I'm so free. I'm free to do whatever. I'm like, no, you are bound. You are so bound. You don't even know how bound you are. But we're actually free because we have divine power working in and through us. It's called the Holy Spirit. We are on the team of God, girls. We are not on our own teams. We are united. We are United Front. Look around. These are United Front Freedom girls. We are on the same team, okay? And we are no longer enslaved to this world, but we are servants and slaves of Christ for the purpose of building the kingdom of God. We are saved by him and for him for the purpose of what he has for us to build. We need each other, but we have to do this together. In order to be free, we are going to need each other and be cooperating with Christ in all that we do every day. During a hike in the woods, a troop of Boy Scouts came across an abandoned section of railroad tracks. Each boy turned and tried walking these railroad tracks. Have you ever tried to like walk and balance yourself on a railroad track? It's hard to do. But eventually, they lost their balance and they tumbled off. Two boys, after considerably whispering, suddenly offered to bet that they couldn't both walk the entire length of the tracks without falling off. Challenged to make this good their boast, the two boys jumped up on opposite railroad tracks, extended their hands to balance each other, and they walked the whole entire section of this track with no difficulty whatsoever because they were leaning on each other. That is, in a nutshell, the principle of Christian living. We need each other. We need Jesus. We're walking side by side, alongside with Christ and each other because we are free. No matter what's happening, we have each other. We're going to stay free in who he is. You see, understanding to live beyond our limitations starts with me knowing that I'm called by God to find myself and be where he finds me because the call will take a process. And I reminding myself that I am not a slave to anyone, but I am free in Christ Jesus. Did you get something from God today? Some of you aren't free. You are actually bound by sin because you have not made Jesus your personal Lord and Savior of your life. You have a head knowledge of who he is, but you don't have a heart knowledge of who he is. And Jesus says that he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life, and that no man comes to the Father except through him. Jesus came and he died on a cross, broken, bloody mess. His body was stripped open and his blood was shed to wash away our sins. He became that spotless lamb, that sacrificial lamb, so that we no longer have to sacrifice animals in the place of our sin, but he became the sacrificial lamb for us. But all we have to do is ask him to be the Lord and Savior, invite him to come and be the Lord and Savior of our lives. We have to acknowledge that he is God and God alone, and that he is Jesus, and he is the one and only true God. That he is real and that he loves you. He's calling you home, and he wants to come and live and dwell with you for the rest of your life. You no longer have to live in sin. You no longer have to live in that pain. You no longer have to live in the position of being a slave to the world and a slave to yourself and a slave to your mindsets. But you could be free in Christ, as we talked about. But the only way to be free in Christ is to say yes to Jesus and make him your Lord and Savior. How do you do this? It's pretty simple. He says that if you confess me before men, that I will confess you before my Father. But if you deny me before men, then I will deny you before my Father. What does that mean? It means that when we go to heaven, all of us are going to die. And every single person here on this earth will go, and they will stand before God, and they will be judged at the judgment seat. They will be judged whether they go to hell or whether they go to heaven. Where will you end up? Ask yourself that question. Will you end up in heaven or will you end up in hell? Say, well, I hope I would end up in heaven. I'm not sure. I think I would end up in heaven. I don't know. I went to church my whole life, and you know, on and off, and I served. I even sang on the worship team. I served as a volunteer. I went to camp at one time, and I gave God my life, but I never served him fully, really. I've been doing a lot of my own thing instead of God's thing, and that's called being lukewarm. Jesus talks about being lukewarm in Revelation. He says, you're either hot or you're cold, but if you're lukewarm, I will vomit you from my mouth. So today, I want to give you an opportunity to make sure you're right with God. Stop living that lukewarm life. Start living free in Christ Jesus. Make him your all, girls. There's no shame in it. There's just the goodness of God waiting for you on the other side of saying yes to him and making him the Lord and Savior of your life. So if you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, I want to give you an opportunity in a little bit. If you've been running from God instead of to God, I want to give you the opportunity to get your life right with the Lord today. Maybe you've been like, not sure. You've been dabbling into spiritualism. You've been looking for what's real and what's right. I'm here to tell you that there's only one God. He is the true God. He is the way. And that he is the only way to heaven. So today, you need to renounce the works of darkness and you need to give your heart and life to Jesus. So this is how it's going to work. I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, and I'm going to bang my hand on the table like that. When I do that, you're going to raise your hand. You say, okay, well, why do I got to raise my hand? Because when you confess in front of us, when you walk out those doors, every demon in hell and every person you've ever known is going to be like, what did you do? Oh, well, whatever. It's not real. And they're going to fight you. You're going to feel the opposition against your true confession that God is your Lord now. So if you can't do it in this safe environment, I'm trying to build you up. You've got this, girls. We are all praying for you. We are the church of the exes. I am the ex of everything. I'm a hot mess, but I've been redeemed and reconciled by God, and I'm so grateful that the Lord loves and cherishes and restores back everything Satan has taken from you. So today's your day of redemption. Today's your day to know Jesus face-to-face, one-on-one. Get ready to raise your hand. And when you raise your hand, we're going to pray a prayer. I'm going to see your hand. Keep it up so I can see it. And then I'm going to pray a prayer with you to invite Jesus to come and be the Lord and Savior of your life. Okay? So get ready. If you've been running from God instead of to God, get ready to raise your hand. Today's your day. You are not promised tomorrow. Make sure you're right with God today. If you've never known Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you've had an idea of him, but you want to make him the Lord of your heart, the Lord of your life, today's your day. Get ready. On the count of three. 1, 2, 3, raise your hands if you want to know Jesus. Raise your hands. Okay, we have everybody in here is a believer. Then girls, you need to get out there and start witnessing, okay? Because you're all my girls. And so you are full-time ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's ask the Lord this week, who can I bring to church that I can minister to, that God that wants to do something inside of them, okay? So begin to ask the Lord, open a door for me to invite someone to come, because there's a lost and dying world out there that needs to know the goodness of God.